This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
Hi, I'm here with Amy Vincent from the Wellcome Centre for Mitochondrial Research in Newcastle University. Welcome to the Jodcast.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Yeah, I hope you're enjoying the festival.
I am, yeah, it's really good.
Mm-hmm. So what are you doing here at Blue Dot?
So we're here mainly to raise awareness of mitochondrial disease, but we've got a collaboration with an artist called Jed that's also based at Newcastle. So what we're trying to do is kind of translate our images from the lab into nice artwork. So he's generated some wood blocks based on our images, and he's printing postcards to send out to people.
Oh, that's very cool. So what are mitochondria?
So mitochondria are essentially the batteries of the cell. So they make all the energy that all the cells in your body need. So if you have a problem with the mitochondria, it's the tissues that require the most energy that start to have problems with working, like the brain and the muscle and the heart as well.
And our mitochondrial disease is things that affect lots of people?
So mitochondrial diseases are actually quite rare, particularly, so it's sort of an umbrella term. You have lots of different conditions that come under mitochondrial diseases, which each of them are very rare. But actually, when you put them all together, it does start to make up quite a large group of people. And the other thing is that we have a lot of research that's going on that are into other diseases that you have mitochondrial dysfunction associated with. So things like Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, MS, and actually you get some dysfunction when you're just through general healthy aging. So 70 and 80 year olds will have a degree of mitochondrial dysfunction just based on the aging process.
So the stuff you're looking into, it applies to people who suffer from these diseases, but also the wider population.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously we see with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's disease, because you see mitochondrial dysfunction in these, that's really important with our aging population, because we need to understand what's happening to these people who are getting things like dementia and stuff like that, to be able to, you know, treat people and have healthier, longer lives.
And what do we know so far about what might be the causes for stuff like this?
So at the moment, it's not very well characterised. So we know to what extent we get changes in the mitochondria with things like Parkinson's disease, but we don't really have a full grasp on whether it's the Parkinson's disease that's affecting the mitochondria or vice versa. So how much is the mitochondrial dysfunction contributing to Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease? And that we're not quite sure yet.
I guess it's still a work in progress.
It is. It's a lot of work going on and a lot of work left to go.
That's always good for scientists. So what do you specifically work on?
So I actually work on muscle. So what I aim to do is, within the mitochondria, they have their own DNA, and you have a particular group of conditions where mutations arise in them. And as they arise, because the mitochondrial DNA is present in so many copies, they could arise in just one mitochondrial DNA. Over the lifespan, they accumulate to a point where it could be like 75% of the mitochondrial DNA that's mutated. And what I'm trying to do is understand how that process happens in muscle, in the hope that because the accumulation is what causes the dysfunction of the tissue, that we can intervene and try and slow that accumulation.
And have you got any ideas for how you might do that, or is it at the very early stage?
So I wouldn't say it's at the early stage. It's something that people have been working on for decades now, and it's a very difficult problem to tackle, to understand even part of the story of what's happening. So at the moment, we've got some ideas of what pathways within the cell we can target and how we might treat them, but it's still quite a way for being a potential treatment, so there's a lot of work left to go.
So what's your day-to-day work like? You know, in the lab, I have no idea, what are you doing in your field?
So my day-to-day is actually quite variable. So some days I can have a day where, yeah, I'm in the lab, I'll maybe do some staining of some muscle tissue, pop that on the microscope and have a look at it. But other days I'll have days that are sort of analysing the data that I've got or analysing images that I've taken. Lots of writing to sort of draw in other areas of research and understand my results. It's quite variable. It's really nice to have a bit of a mix.
What for you is the thing you're most looking forward to in your field?
I would say the thing I'm most looking forward to actually is that we recently had three-parent IVF go through a parliamentary debate and get legalised within the UK. So our centre applied in November to be a centre that was able to do this, and we're in the process of sort of setting this up and being able to collect donor eggs and start this IVF process for some of the patients. And I think it would just be so rewarding to see these first children born that are disease-free from parents who would have passed on mitochondrial disease. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, no, that's lovely. And actually, because I've heard of that process, but I had no idea what it was for. So that's really good to hear about the impact and how it's actually going to happen. Great. Well, thank you for talking to us on the Drugcast.
That's okay.
And I hope you enjoy the rest of the festival.
Thank you. You too.